Would you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? Pastor Susie ministered last week on the story behind Big Seeds, and I hope that was inspirational to you. If you were here, if you weren't here, I really urge you to go back and listen to that. Fantastic message about seed time and harvest and sowing big seeds. And if we're going to have a big year, we need to sow big seeds, and we also need to expect a big harvest. Now, I believe that because of a message like that and because of an excitement and expectancy that we have, I believe that the enemy wants to attack you in the area of your finances. But we have authority over him, right? I want to remind you of a message I spoke about a couple of weeks ago about your authority. But one thing that we have to understand about authority is that in order to use our authority effectively, we have to know the enemy's schemes and tactics. And one of his tactics is what we're going to read about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Everybody say strongholds. "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." I believe that the enemy doesn't necessarily attack us in this physical realm, but he does so in the battlefield of our mind, is what Joyce Meyer talks about. And he would attempt to build strongholds in your mind that would prevent you from fulfilling the destiny that God has for you, prevent you from obtaining all that has been laid out for you in the Scripture. And these strongholds are things that would block you. They're thoughts that have built up over time to the sense that you see them as truth in your life. Strongholds may have been developed from an early age, something that somebody told you that wasn't necessarily true about you, but that you believed so much and heard so much that you started to believe it, and you started to believe it so much that you started to say it, and by the time you said it and you believed it, that was your identity. But it was a lie. And so the thing that we have to understand about God is he's given us the ability to pull down these strongholds, so we can tear them down. Now, there may have been some strongholds, some specific thoughts that have built up over time into strongholds in the area of finances, provision, generosity, those types of things. And I believe there's two specific lack mentalities that the enemy would dare to build a stronghold in your life. And I want to talk about those. They're two sides of the same coin, but very different when it comes to perspective. And I'll go ahead and, spoiler alert, I'll go ahead and give those to you. And then we'll dig a little bit deeper into them. So two lack stronghold mentalities that the enemy would dare to build in your life. One is, I don't have enough. So say that, I don't have enough. Tricked you. Don't say it. Don't say it. Oh, man, you guys are too smart. The one is, I don't have enough. And the two is, I need more. You're like, well, what is it? That's the same thing? Yeah, it's two sides of the same coin, but they're very different when it comes to the perspective. I don't have enough and I need more. And the enemy would tell you both things. He would tell you, you don't have enough. You don't have enough to fulfill that dream that God's given you. You definitely can't pay for that dream that God's given you because it's going to cost a lot and you don't have enough. Allow me to play devil's advocate for just a moment. This is not what God thinks about you or says about you, but this is what the enemy would try to bring to you to build a stronghold in your life. This isn't the word of God. This is the word of the enemy meant to prevent you from your destiny. Okay? He would tell you, you don't have enough. And he would also tell you, you need more. You need more. You may have what you think is enough, but you need more because it isn't enough. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Everybody can say that. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So this mentality, this stronghold of I don't have enough, it may have been something that was built into you from an early age, from childhood, when you went to the grocery store with your family and you're in the checkout aisle. And of course, the goodies that lay before you, from Reese's Pieces to SpongeBob SquarePants gummy burger things, Krabby Patties, that's what they call them. My daughter likes that. All kinds of goodies that lay before you, and you begin to, you reach out for that goodie and you pick it up and you say to your parent, I want this. Can I have this? And mommy or daddy say, even without thinking, sorry, we can't afford that. Even though, like, really, you can. It's a dollar, probably $1.50 now. The candies are expensive. I remember hearing that as a child. Well, we don't have money for that. We don't have that. And so this is something I even battle now. You know, the ultimate response is, no, we're not getting that. Well, why? Well, we're just they want a reason. We're not doing it. But, well, I can use my money, she says. But I don't want to teach my kids that we don't have enough money to get them what they want or what they need to buy the toy or candy or whatever it is. But I do want to teach them to be wise about their purchases, to avoid impulse spending. And the reality is, yeah, we do have money for that, but we're simply not going to use it for that purpose. Choosing not to purchase that at this time. You know, I battle this. I battle this in my own life. You know, I have been given the moniker around our house, El Cheapo. And you know, because I'm... I know. I will let you guess who gave me that nickname. But I own it because I'm frugal. And I like to think that I'm a good steward of the finances that God's given me. But I often disguise that as saying, no, we can't afford it. There's not enough in the budget for that. Where does this come from? Could it perhaps be a stronghold? Could it perhaps be something that was built into me over time that tells me you don't have enough? I was watching this show. I don't know if anybody ever saw this. Steve Harvey's Big Time. Everybody knows who Steve Harvey is, right? He had a show on a few years ago called Steve Harvey's Big Time, where he would, it was just all kinds of different crazy stuff. Like now he's got the little big shots or whatever. So he would have different people on his show that had a unique ability or a unique, some sort of uniqueness about them that made them interesting, okay? So on this show, he had what the guy dubbed himself as the cheapest man in the world. Okay? The guy, like, he was the cheapest man in the world, he called himself. And this was the epitome of I don't have enough. Okay? Here's what he would do. He would get ketchup packets from fast food joints and squeeze those packets into a ketchup bottle for his house. Like, just load up on the ketchup packets and, like, never buy another ketchup bottle again. I can't fork out the $2 for that. I don't have enough, he says. He would reuse his paper towels 4 to 5 times by hanging them to dry on a clothesline in his kitchen. Literally. Like, they showed video footage of this guy's house, clotheslines running back and forth in the middle of his kitchen with used paper towels that he would hang up. He was not a bounty guy. He would buy 2-ply toilet paper and separate the paper to create 2 thinner rolls out of one. The cheapest man in the world. Now, I'm all for, you know, I'm El Cheapo or whatever. But I guarantee you, I ain't separating the 2-ply toilet paper. My buns deserve the best. Okay? You gotta draw the line somewhere. The buck stops there. This guy is so cheap. I mean, I get it. Like, you want to get the most out of your money, but this guy would pinch pennies so hard that he would squeeze copper boogers out of Honest Abe's nose. He was a penny pinching crazy guy. But if we dig a little bit, that there we'll find that there may be a lack mentality in all of us somewhere. And we have to purpose to do whatever it takes to eradicate that, to identify it. Maybe it comes out in certain places where your significant other points out to you, hey, that's El Cheapo. And you got to say, well, no, I'm a good steward. But wait a second, there's something in the back of your mind that says you can't afford that. You don't have enough. So you got to identify that, and then you got to nullify it and cancel it out with the Word of God. Got to distinguish some of those characteristics of that lack mentality. Distinguish, is this a stronghold? And then you got to extinguish it. Get rid of it. Tear it down. Pull it down. Another way I saw this in myself was Kristen and I, we like to go out to eat. And so we would be eating our food, and I enjoy food. So I'd finish every morsel on my plate, scrape it, until it's completely empty. And I'd look over at Kristen's plate and I'd see that she has left some food on her plate. And not enough to warrant getting a to-go box. Because it's like just a few tiny bites, And I look at that and I'm like, how wasteful. Like, you're not going to eat those last two bites. You are so full that you can't eat two more bites. And so the lack stronghold in me would reach over and grab those last two bites and stuff them in my ever-growing fat face. It affected my waistline more than it did my wallet. The food was already paid for, So there's a line, there's a difference between being a good steward or naming it that, and then having a poverty mentality. And you got to identify that. You have to renew your mind. You have to renovate your mind. You have to pull down the stronghold. You have to realize that in 3 John 2, John writes, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Above all things, God desires for his people to prosper. God would tell you that you do have enough. In fact, he would say that there is more than enough. He would say there's plenty where that came from. You're not going to run out. So it's not enough to remove the lack mentality and identify it. It's all fun and games until you start identifying it. And then you got to say, well, what am I going to do about it? You got to replace it with the proper structure. Once the stronghold is torn down, you need to rebuild your own fortress with stronger material. And you can't just, quote a few scriptures and put up your little straw house like the first little pig did. Because the enemy will come in with his lies, his fiery darts, and poof, that thing that you, read one scripture one time, it's gone up in smoke. Because you didn't build a fortress strong enough. Now, the Word of God stands on its own. It's strong enough on its own. But you have to fortify yourself and your spirit so that you can stand against the attacks of the enemy. So build a stronger house. Maybe try some sticks this time. Maybe try some bricks. And then when the big bad devil comes huffing and puffing, you'll stand. You'll stand. Ephesians 6, verse 16 talks about it this way. It says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So if you have built up your shield, different sizes of shields, aren't there? If you've built up your shield, you'll be able to withstand any of the fiery darts, those lies, those whispers, those thoughts that he would try to implant into your mind, and you'd be able to distinguish those, extinguish those, and they wouldn't harm you in any way. You'd be able to quench all those fiery darts. In order to do that, you have to build a fortress using God's word in your life. The word prosper means to flourish, to thrive, to grow in a vigorous way, to do better, to help on the road, to succeed at reaching something desirable. And it's based out of John 10:10, which we all know that Jesus came to give us a life more life and life more abundantly, a life that's overflowing with good things, a life that's well supplied and rich. You have to understand that lack mentality doesn't belong in the kingdom of God. It doesn't. And you have to cut it off immediately when it comes up. That's why it says cast down every argument that would set itself up against the knowledge of God. Well, what is the knowledge of God? The knowledge of God is that He wants us to prosper in all things and be in health even as our soul prospers. So if there's anything that comes against that, we can recognize that that's not from God. This is something that's trying to set itself up against the knowledge of God. And if I have the knowledge of God, if I know who God is and who He's made me to be, if I know my identity in Him, then I can easily bat away those fiery darts and say, nah, get that out of here. Let me build your faith for just a minute. We're going to read like a ton of scriptures right now, okay? So you'll write them down, cool. If you don't, I'll send you all the scriptures here. Most of these are in the Psalms. Man, this is why it's important to sing good songs. Songs that are based in the Word of God. And there's 150 Psalms. And we're not going to read all of them, but there's some good stuff in here, okay? Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. The earth belongs to God. If you don't have it at this present moment, He can get it for you. He made it. It's not in existence. He can make it. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. God takes pleasure in prospering us. He's a good father. Like that pleases Him to see us doing better and flourishing and thriving. He enjoys that. Psalm 1:1-3. He will cause whatever you do to prosper. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Is that you? Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in lack. He's our shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's going to lead us to still waters. He's going to lead us to fields that are flourishing in green meadows. Psalm 34:8-10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I mean, is this helping you tonight? I mean, this is the Word of God. This is the fortress. This is brick by brick by brick by brick that you build up the wall in your life to prevent the enemy's darts and breath and whispers and lies from getting to you. Because when the enemy says you don't have enough, you can say, well, I seek the Lord and I'm not lacking any good thing. Nanana boo boo. Psalm 37:19. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Come on, somebody. Even in famine, even when the world around you is lacking, even when the world around you is in drought or famine or has want, you'll be satisfied. You'll have more than enough. I think that one was the New Living. Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. God is so good. He wants to prosper you. Psalm 67, 5 through 7. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The earth shall yield her increase. It says, let all the peoples praise you, then the earth shall yield her increase. There's a connection between your worship and your praise to God and the earth giving increase. That's pretty cool. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Could you use some of those daily benefits? You know, on our jobs, we have a benefit package, right? And some of them you can take a hold of. You know, you got vacation time, you cash that in, you know, however often you get it. Daily. In Christ, you have daily benefits. Loads of benefits. This is so good. Psalm 112, 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Wealth and riches will be in his house. That doesn't sound like you don't have enough. It sounds like more than enough. Psalm 115. I got about seven more here. Psalm 115, 12 through 14. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. He doesn't just want to bless you. He wants to bless your kids too. As proved by Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Not just your children, but your children's children, your grandkids. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. This is so good. Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. It was Ecclesiastes. Sinner storing up for us. This is crazy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. So be expecting people to give to you. And they'll probably, don't even question their motives. They'll probably be like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Well, God's given them that work to gather and collect to give to you. Be expecting it. And then to cap it all off here in the New Testament, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Don't buy the lie that you don't have enough. All right, let's look over at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. We'll read this in the message. It says, one day, a man arrived from Baal Shalishah. He brought the man of God 20 loaves of fresh baked bread from the early harvest, along with a few apples from the orchard. Elisha said, pass it around to the people to eat. His servant said, for 100 men, there's not nearly enough. Who does that sound like? Sounds like a lie from the enemy, right? Or it sounds like El Cheapo. Or it sounds like the mathematician, the accountant that looks at the few pieces of bread and a couple apples and then looks at the multitude of 100 soldiers hungry from battle and says, this is going to feed that. Elisha, what have you been smoking? Like, what are you seeing? And that's the key. Because Elisha sees something that the servant doesn't see. And a prosperity mentality a mindset that God wants to prosper you, will begin to see something that everybody else doesn't see. Because we already understand that God's math is different than our math. And he's in the multiplication business. So Elisha said, just go ahead and do it. God says, there's plenty. Just go ahead and do it. God says there's plenty, but that's not wisdom. Why would I start passing out, you know, a few barley loaves and apples? I mean, one guy could scarf this down. That's not wisdom. But he says, go ahead and do it. God says there's plenty. God says there's plenty. And sure enough, there was. He passed around what he had. They not only ate, but had leftovers. It's kind of a foreshadowing, if you will, of what took place in the ministry of Jesus. And we understand that in the ministry of Jesus, we see God's will for humanity. Because he came not to do his will, but he came to do the Father's will. And it seems like the Father's will, even in the Old Testament, was multiplication. For you to have plenty. For you to have leftovers. The good leftovers that you want to put in a to-go box and take home. Or pass out on your way home. Not like pass out because you ate so much, but pass out and distribute to others. All right. Got some more time here because there's another side of the coin of I don't have enough, and that is I need more. I need more. Okay, so the general idea that pops in your head with this is the person who hoards for themselves and they're so focused on building their net worth that they have little time for anyone else. It's this Ebenezer Scrooge effect. Scrooge effect, okay? So you've seen like the extreme coupon shows? Any of you guys ever watch that on like TLC? I mean, these guys have stockpiles of stuff in their garage, you know, like 1,000 jars of pickles because they got them for like a penny, you know, for all of them for like a penny. Like, and they say, and then they get more coupons for more pickles because for some reason, it's not that they don't have enough. They have enough, but they need more. I need more pickles. Or toilet paper, if you will, whatever it is. So get this, Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. So it's kind of the flip side of some of the stuff Pastor Susie was talking about, being content with what you have, you know, in 1 Timothy 6, which we'll read verse 10. Let's read that. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So this mentality of I need more, well, I need, if I'm going to ever do anything for the kingdom of God, I need more. I need more money. So we start to gather and we start to devise ways of like, how can we get more money? Not in a sense of not with a heart of generosity, but with a heart of greed, because we're trying to amass it for ourselves. Because if I have more, and then maybe in the back of your mind you hope you would do more good with it. It's like the people that have this idea, well, I'll start tithing if I hit it big, I'll start giving if I hit the lottery, you know. But if you're not giving a dime out of every dollar, then what do you expect you're going to do with $1 million? Oh man, you're going to go crazy with like consumption, consuming it yourself. Don't seek money, seek God in all his wisdom. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Because it's easy for us to get wrapped up in building our own kingdom and get wrapped up in the desire for stuff. And the thing is, you can build your own kingdom in your mind without ever spending a dime. The green monsters of jealousy and envy and greed. You'll begin to build your own kingdom in your mind. Well, what? And this question of what would you do if you had $1 million? What would you do if you hit it big? You remember the big Powerball a few years ago? You know, where they asked people this question on the news. They asked people, what would you do if you hit the lottery? How much was it? Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, one guy said he would spend it all. You remember this? Spend it all on coke and hookers. That's what the guy said on the news. Do you remember that? That's a lot of coke. I reckon. Even with $1 million, you could have the mentality of, I need more. I need more. And you see that for many people that hit it big, that's their downfall. That's like the end. It leads to their destruction, really. They're worse off after they hit it big than when they were before, when they, you know, just had a regular income. So that's part of it, you know, this idea of, I need more stuff. And the devil would tempt you with that lie. And you know what the answer to that is? Start giving stuff away. You know, I could easily have a large collection of guitars at this point in my life. Like, easily. But I've given away more guitars than I've received. Because I know it's a temptation for me. And just like, and we've had, you know, some income in our life, you know, we sold our house and you know, tax refund and all that stuff, and you begin to dream, like Pastor Susie said last week, like, what could I do with this? You know, and one of my thoughts is like, oh, let me go buy a guitar because I need another one. I need more. I need more guitars. You know, I've got two guitars. No, two of them that I have on stage. I have another one in my office. There's a pink one that I play at my house sometimes. That's my daughter's. Because it's pink. There's a lot of guitars around. But wait, since you get a little money and you're like, yeah, I need more. I'll tell you where that comes from. Barry Barber. Dad. Another stronghold built in my early days. Man's got a ton of guitars. And he'll bring his toys over and I'm like, oh, that's shiny. I like it. Can I? I need more. I need more. I need more. Every time I'd go to look on the, you know, try to find a deal, and you think, well, if it's a good deal, then obviously it's from God, so I better spend my money, fork over the cash, you know. So looking on these websites, finding great deals on guitars, you know, that'd be a great business right there. Great deals on guitars. But every time I'd go to look at it and perhaps ask my wife if I could buy one, because I would never do that without her permission. It's better to ask for permission than forgiveness, contrary to what people would say. Especially when it comes to money. But every time I go to look at it, it's like, nah, don't do that. Don't do that. And man, you wouldn't believe that yesterday somebody came by with a super uber nice guitar and said, God told me to give this to you. So now I have more than enough. I have plenty. And so if ever the thought comes, well, Nate, you need more guitars, and the enemy says, well, you need more guitars, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give away some of my guitars. Because that is the antidote for greed. You can't take it with you when you leave. I mean, I can't play six guitars at one time. Why do I need more? I would be really talented, and I might be on Steve Harvey's Big Time if I could play six at a time. There's another side of this I need more thing. And this is the viewpoint of if I had more, then I could do this, that, and the other. Okay, so I've often had this thought too. That if I had, you know, the fortune of Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, that, man, what good could I do? Man, I could solve the world's water crisis with one swipe of my debit card. And you think, the mentality is, if I had more, then, you know, I need more to do any amount of good in this world. in a sense that if I had more, then I could do more good to more people, I would hope. But do I need more in order to do that? No. The principle we see in the scripture is not you need more to do some sort of good in your life or for somebody else. The principle we see in scripture, even for provision, is what are you doing with what you currently have in your possession? What are you doing with what's already there? We see this, the widow woman's oil. What you got in the house? The prophet asked her. Well, I got some oil. I need more. Her excuse wasn't, I need more. Her excuse was, I mean, she said, it's not enough. I'm like, I'm going to eat and make some bread. We're going to scarf it. And then we did. But he asked her, well, make me one first. And instead of hoarding, instead of consuming, she gave. Well, I need more bread. Why? That doesn't make sense. Why would I give away the bread that I have? Because the word of the Lord said to do it. And as she did, there was provision for her and her family. You know the story. She ate for many, 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 many days, her and her kids. What are you doing with what you have? The widow's mite. All the big spenders, man, they put it in there and put it in the offering and said, look at me. Well, they had more. And you could consider that they were doing more good with the more that they have. But Jesus didn't single them out. He looked at the woman who put two mites in and said, this woman gave more than all of them. As I said before, God's math is completely different than ours. What are you doing with what you already have? Same thing with the little boy's lunch in John 6. That we see was a parallel to what happened in 2 Kings chapter 4. Like, he gave of his lunch. What are you doing with what you got? It's not much. Surely this little lunch isn't going to do much for 5,000 men. That's all I got. What are you doing with what you have? Certainly you could do more with more, but the more important reality is, what are you doing with what you've already got? So we have to eradicate these two towers of these strongholds that the enemy's built of. I don't have enough and I need more. We have to completely annihilate these strongholds in our minds and realize that God has, he's already given to us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything you need is already available to you. Catch yourself before you have the thought, I can't afford that, or I don't have enough for that. Or, and this is one of the main reasons people don't sow big seeds, is because of these lack mentalities of I don't have enough. Because if I give of what I have, then seemingly I'm going to be at a deficit. And sadly, people don't give from what they have because of these two mentalities, and it holds them back from reaching into a new level and going to the next level in your finances, in your career, in your family. Man, I learned a long time ago, stop living like the world. Stop trying to consume so much. To be a generous person. But you know, as generous as I think I am, I can always, of course, be more generous, but as generous as I think I am, I'm also very greedy. I have the temptation to be very greedy because of these lack mentalities that the enemy has tried to build strongholds in my life. And I keep chipping away at them. And when I get stuff, I ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Get money, what do you want me to do with it? Because the temptation is to, man, you get a big windfall, the temptation is to start hoarding, start storing. Hey, man, stick that in the savings account. I mean, and that's worldly wisdom, you know, guys? Like, yeah, I've been through financial peace. You got to build your, you got to pay off your debt. You got to, you know, have your emergency fund of $1,000. You got to pay off your debt. You got to build 3 to 6 months of income. I have never been able to do that. Because anytime I get nearly enough, like a month of income, I start giving it away. But you know what? I've never had lack. God's always provided on time, exactly when I need it. And I want to live in that place. Man, it's risky. It seems risky. It seems foolish. But it's adventurous. Man, when there seems to be, you know, more month left at the end of the money and you don't know where it's going to come from, for somebody to show up on your porch with $800, that's adventurous. And you're like, glory to God when he shows himself faithful. Not because you did something fantastic or wonderful, but because that's who he is. Because even when we're faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny his word. So that's good. But your generosity means that he can trust you. When you're faithful to give, when you're faithful to get rid of these mentalities, because these mentalities will prevent you from giving big seeds. They'll prevent you from stepping into all kinds of stuff. But if you know the opposite of these lies, that there's plenty, that there's more than enough, and you begin to learn to be content with what you have, then you'll find that every need will be supplied. And then more, you'll have leftovers so that you can give and you can be generous like God wants you to be. Look, we don't preach messages like this because Good News Church wants or needs your money. It's God's design for the parishioners of the church to support the work of the church, of course. But the people of Good News Church are not the source for Good News Church. God is. So we don't say this to start to milk finances from you. You know, say you have to give. Let the Lord deal with you on those things. But I am a living testimony that is, it is so much better. You can live a so much better life, a freer life, when you're not holding tightly to what you have and start hoarding all the things. Man, you can have 6 guitars strapped to your back and you will be unfulfilled if you feel like you need more. I mean, you see all of these celebrities. They're not happy. They have everything that you think you could ever want or need. That doesn't make you happy. Stuff can't make you happy. Never met or heard a story of anybody on their deathbed wishing they had more stuff. They don't care about that. They worked all these hours and spent all this time amassing great wealth, and in the end, it doesn't even matter. What's truly vital? What's really important? The relationships that you make, the life that you give to others. Man, that's worth more than padding my bank account. You know, a message like this just inspires me to be more generous, to be honest. Like me, personally. Who wants a guitar tonight? I mean, like... There's more where that came from. God says there's plenty. Just, man, kick the devil out. Say, no. I'm not buying those lies. God says there's plenty. There is plenty to do the vision that God's given you. You may not be able to see it just yet. And that's okay. Ask God to reveal it to you. Ask God to open your eyes. But there is more. There's plenty. God says there's plenty. We've read all those scriptures and Psalms. And that's just barely scratching the surface of all the promises that are in God's word about desiring to prosper you. Matthew 6, Don't worry about today. Oh, I don't have enough. I need more. Stop that. Don't worry about today. Today's got enough trouble of its own. Trust God. Seek His kingdom. Hey, all of your needs will be met. But yet we strive, we struggle. We're like, I got to get more. And we reach in, we're climbing the ladder of success, so to speak. And we're trying to attain something that God's already laid available to us if we would just trust Him. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. May we all be convinced that it's Your desire to prosper us. May we be convinced that there is plenty and that we can be content with what we have and trust You and be generous on every occasion, for You supply every need. You give us the desires of our heart. Father, may Your desires become our desires. May we trust You with everything that comes into our hand. May we destroy the strongholds of I don't have enough and I need more. God, You're a good God. We trust You. We love You. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us and Your generosity towards us. Use us, we pray, because we're blessed to be a blessing. We're funnels of Your love, Your grace. We're distributors of blessings. We are blessed to be a blessing, Father. We thank You for it. We pray that You lead us, You guide us. And I pray, Father, just in line with 3 John 2, that they would prosper, all of the people of Good News Church, those watching by live streaming, those here in person, those who would listen to this message, that they would prosper in all things and be in health, even as their soul prospers. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Love you.